I want to invite you, if you would, please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one right there in the pew in front of you. It is good to be in God's house. It's good to contemplate the things of God, to think about what heaven's going to be like. But I want to tell you, it's not really about streets of gold or crystal seas or gates of pearl or any of that kind of stuff. What makes heaven wonderful is it's where God is. It's where Christ is. It's where the light of His glory shines forever and ever, and where we get to be with Him. No sorrow, no sickness, no sin, no death. And what a great thing to think about. Tonight, we continue our study through the Gospels. We've been trying to study as close to chronologically as we can through the Gospels, and we come to Mark 4. This account, or at least part of it, is also found in Luke chapter 8. But Mark 4, verses 21 to 29, and Luke 8, 16 to 18, if you want to take some notes down tonight, I'd encourage you to do that. But we need to be careful. Take heed how or what we hear. If you're able, let's stand together to honor the Word of God. Mark 4 and verse 21. The Word of God says, "And He said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And He said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And He said, So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring on and grow up. He knoweth not how, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you give us understanding of your word tonight. I do pray, Lord, if anyone here has never repented of their sin and put their faith and trust in Christ alone, they've never called out to you, never cried out to you for salvation, they've never been saved, I pray tonight would be the night they would repent and believe the gospel, receive the gift of eternal life. And for all who are saved, Lord, I pray that you would help us to hear with understanding, with an obedient heart. Help us to take the gospel light that you've given us and to shine it to all that we can. Lord, help us to bear fruit, bear much fruit for your honor and glory. Help me now as I preach the word, for I'm nothing without you, and I pray you'd bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Take heed what ye hear. We've just seen in the last sermon, Jesus has given the parable of the sower, probably one of the better known parables that Jesus taught. And then Jesus explained that parable and explained to his disciples why he spoke in parables. And it goes like this. Basically, Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. The gospel was to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. But when Jesus came preaching the gospel, there were those in the Jewish community who received the gospel. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They were saved. They were baptized. They started following Christ. There were others who rejected the message of Christ. They did not believe he was who he said he was. They did not believe he was the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and they rejected him. And so Jesus began to speak in parables because those who believed Jesus would gain understanding, spiritual understanding of those truths. Those who rejected Christ, they might understand the illustration, if you will. They might understand what sowing and reaping and all that goes on. They get that, but they didn't understand the spiritual significance, because God will only reveal His truth to those who believe. Listen, when God comes and gives a message to somebody, He's not going to reveal His truth to those who reject Him, if you don't believe Him. Now, anyone can hear, understand, and believe the gospel. Amen. That we are all sinners, that Christ died for man, that He rose again the third day, and that if you'll repent of your sin and put your faith and trust in Christ alone, He'll save you and give you eternal life. But if you reject that Jesus is God, If you reject that Christ, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you reject his death, burial, and resurrection, then he's not going to give you more truth. When you believe him, he'll give you more truth. When you obey him, he'll give you more truth. But when we reject him, he's not going to bless. And that really comes down to the heart of all that Jesus is teaching. He's speaking to his disciples still. He's trying to make them understand, listen, I'm giving you something great, and you need to take it, and you need to use it for what it's intended for. And if you'll take what I give you, and believe what I give you, and learn from what I give you, and use what I give you, then I will give you more. I will bless you. But if you neglect what I've given you, you'll lose even that little bit that you had. And isn't that a true principle in our lives?
Amen.
So we see, first of all, the revelation, the light of the gospel, back in verses 21 to 23. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? Hey, listen, when in those days, obviously, they didn't walk into the room and flip the light switch on. What they had was lamps, and we haven't rendered candles, and that's okay. The point is, it's a light source. Now, more likely, it was in that day, it was a little glass jar type thing with a spout on it, and they put oil inside, and a wick laid down inside, and they lit it, and it gave light. Now, when you lit your lamp or your candle, you didn't take it and put it under a basket. What good would that do? It would be pointless. It would be stupid. You didn't light your candle and then stick it underneath your couch or your bed or hide it under the table. What good is that? No, you put it on a stand. And many homes in that time, they had a shelf on the wall. And you lit your candle or your lamp and you put it on the shelf.
Amen.
There's a reason our lights hang from the ceiling.
Amen.
The lights aren't underneath the pews in here.
Amen.
That would be stupid. That would kind of be pointless. But we put our lights up so they light the whole room and they have a purpose. And the same thing's true with the gospel message. God did not give us the gospel message to hide it.
Amen.
He gave us the gospel message to shine it to other people. He didn't give us the gospel message so we could hide it in our heart and stick it inside and keep it to ourselves. And I believe what Jesus was teaching his disciples is, I've given you the light of the gospel. I've given you something not to be hidden, not to be secreted away, but to be put out there for everyone to see. The gospel is to be shared. The gospel is to be shared. Now, we get that. We understand that truth. But friends, how many times do we keep the gospel to ourselves when we should be sharing it with others? The truth, the gospel, the light of Christ is not given to be hidden. It's given to shine openly. We understand this. Matthew 5:14, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And our lives are to be a light for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you get this, right? If you have seen Jesus, if you've met Jesus by faith, you've trusted Jesus, you've believed on him, his Spirit lives inside of you, he's given you the light of the gospel, it ought to change our lives.
Amen.
And our lives and our testimony, what we say, ought to be a witness to the fact that we've been changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, it takes what we say and what we do working together.
Amen.
Because we can say one thing, but if our life testifies something different, our message isn't going to be clear.
Right. Amen.
And let me help you out, some of your good Baptist people tonight. You can live the best life in the world, and your life can be a great testimony. But if you don't speak the gospel, your life cannot be a real testimony for Jesus Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if we don't proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, people cannot come to know Christ. Everybody with me? I've heard some very dear people say, my life is my testimony. I don't really share the gospel. I don't really give the plan of salvation. I just let my life be a testimony. And listen to me. I want to say this as nicely as I can. I've met some great Christians in my life. But I have never in my life even heard of a testimony. And you might be, you can fix this. I've never seen it. I've never seen anybody have somebody come up to another person and say, man, I've just been watching you at school, or I've been watching you at work, and I can just tell by the way you live your life that I'm a sinner and I need Jesus to save me. I've seen maybe people know you're a Christian. Maybe they know you go to church. Maybe they think you're a good person. But they're not going to understand I'm a sinner and I need to be saved so I don't end up in hell. They're not going to learn that just by looking at you. We have to tell people.
Amen.
We shine the light by the way we live and by what we say. He said, I didn't give you this light to hide it. There's a reason that you have a candle. It's to put on a candlestick to give light. There's a reason that you have a lamp. It's to put on a lampstand so everyone can see. There's a reason you've been given the gospel. It's so that you can put it up and shine it out in your life. 2 Peter 1:19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in our hearts. And friends, we've been given the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is from the word of God, and that's what people need. There's the reason, there's the revelation. There is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret that it should, but that it should come abroad. All right, we need to understand this, and I believe this is what the Lord's saying. There were mysteries. What we read about in the scripture are called mysteries. And those things in the New Testament that are called mysteries, what it is a truth of God that was not revealed in the Old Testament. It's a truth of God that was not revealed under the Old Covenant. But in the New Covenant and under Christ and in our New Testament, these truths are plainly revealed. And Jesus said there were some things that were hid, but they were hid for a time so that they could be openly showed. They were hidden so that they could be revealed. They were kept back for a time, but only so that they could be made known. Do you see it? Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. He gave us these things. They were previously hidden, and Jesus has hidden them in parables. But his purpose is so not that we could keep them and nobody would know, but he's given us these truths so that we can share them with others. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 through 8. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, the Apostle Paul, writing to Corinth, he says, listen, we've got some things we're telling you that were hidden. These were the secret things of God. But does that mean he's not telling them now? No, he's writing a letter to them to teach them the hidden things of God. It wasn't to be kept to us. Listen, I'm just afraid that sometimes, if we're not careful in our church, we think that we've got the truth and nobody else has the truth and we don't want anybody else to have the truth. No, friends, when we're given the truth, we need to share the truth.
Amen.
When we're given the truth, we need to let other people know. You say, well, they might not agree with you. Of course they don't agree with you. But that's why we're supposed to persuade men and to convince men and to help people see the truth. Listen, if everybody agreed with us right now today, we wouldn't be meeting in this building right now. Right? We'd have to build a stadium. Everybody in Sequoia County could come to our stadium and we could all believe the same thing, but that's not the reality. No, we've got to go and teach people the truth. We don't keep it to ourselves. 1 Corinthians 4:5 says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. And Jesus Christ, his word, his gospel, shines the light. It's what people need is the light of the gospel. Now, friends, people don't love light. The children of men love darkness because their deeds are evil. If you're honest in your carnal flesh, you don't like the light either. Sometimes after the sermon, somebody will come through and they'll say, I enjoyed the message, and they'll stop and say, well, I didn't really enjoy it. And I think what they mean is, I needed it. It wasn't pleasant to my flesh, but my spirit needed that. And that's the way it ought to be every time. When I listen to preaching so many times, it's a crazy thing because I'm so beaten down by the Word of God, it makes me feel like I'm awful. in the flesh. But in the spirit, I'm so encouraged. Isn't that awesome? I love it. I love it. Matthew 10:26, fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. Do you get it? But listen, not just when you're here at church and you hear the truth, take that and tell your family and friends, tell everybody at work and at school. But when you get down at home and you study and you pray and you read your Bible and you study the Word of God and God shows things to you, go tell people about it. Man, I love it when somebody comes up to me and, hey, Brother Isaac, you listen to what I read in my Bible. Listen to what I studied. Look at what God showed me. And that's there's an excitement about that. God has showed you something in the secret, in at home, when you're alone with God, and He gives you the opportunity to go and proclaim that to other people. Amen. You see the revelation, notice the reception. In our text, Mark 4, verse 23 again. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Now, Jesus used this phrase a lot, and maybe that seems kind of strange to us. If you have ears to hear, then hear. But we get it, right? A lot of people are listening, but they're not hearing. Right now while I'm preaching, there's some noise going on up there on the platform, but I have no idea what's being said. Sometimes when you talk to your kids, it's that way. I'm sure that they perceive there's a noise going on, but they are not hearing what you say. And God is speaking to us through His Word, through His Holy Spirit, and He says, listen, I want you to have ears to hear. I want you to have ears to listen and obey. Those of you that have ears to hear, those of you that want to hear with understanding, those of you that want to hear with a heart to do what I'm telling you, then listen, then hear. And so He says in verse 24, He said unto them, take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. He that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. Now let me say this, just as a side note, I think that's good practice for us anytime. Take heed what you hear. Be careful what you're listening to. Be careful what you listen to on your radio. Be careful what you listen to on your TV shows and your movies. Be careful what you listen to from your friends or friends so-called. Be careful what you're listening to. Because what we hear affects our heart.
Amen.
So be careful what you hear. Listen to the right kind of things. Now that's just a side thing. What He's really saying is you need to pay attention. You need to be careful. Watch out what you hear and how you receive it. We need to listen to God's word with a heart to understand it, with a desire to understand it, and a desire to obey it. Notice in verse 24, He says, "With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again, and to you that hear shall more be given." And here's the thing. God gives us truth. And what we do with that truth is what we're meeting. Now you get the idea of in those days they would trade or barter by measuring things out, right? They had the scales. And maybe you would go and sell some grain. So they would weigh out a measure of grain. We'll pray for that baby. This is not going well for him. You would bring a measure of grain and they would weigh that out and you would get a measure of money for that grain, right? And sometimes people would cheat. Sometimes people would use a false balance. They wouldn't be real. But sometimes people would be generous. Maybe you're not selling the grain. Maybe you're buying the grain. And the guy who's selling the grain to you is generous. You just want to buy a pound of flour, but he gives you a little extra.
Amen.
I like doing business with those people.
Amen.
Just give you a little extra. Right?
Amen.
You know, when you buy some chicken nuggets and you order 10, they give you 12.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. When you order 3 pieces of fish, they give you 3.5. And what the Lord's saying is I have given to you what measure you meet, how you give that out, what you do with the word that you're given, that's how much I'm going to bless you in return. It's like this. God gives us a certain amount of truth, and the amount of truth that we actually apply to our lives, the amount of truth that we share, the amount of truth that we live out, God will keep giving us more truth. Do you see that? But have you ever noticed sometimes people are given truth and they don't do anything with it? And then maybe it seems like they can't grow. It seems like they can't move forward. It seems like they're not getting anything else. Well, you didn't do anything with what you just got last week. So why do you expect God to give you more? Maybe this is an awful analogy, but I think a lot of you have dealt with children before, so you'll get this. Have you ever given your kids something to eat, and they don't eat what they have, but then they ask for dessert? Mm-hmm. Now, if they don't eat what was on their plate, what they've already been given, why would you give them more? Or if they've still got food on their plate and they say, I want more. Well, eat what you've got and then we'll see about giving you more. Amen. Right? Amen. Because what's going to happen is they didn't eat what's on the plate. You're going to give more. They're not going to eat that either. And that's what we do spiritually sometimes. God gives us this. We're not even doing anything with that. And then we say, hey, can I have some more? And the Lord's saying, well, you didn't do anything with what I already gave you. Why would I give you more? Friends, we need to take the truth that God's given us. We need to apply it to our lives. We need to live it out. We need to apply the truth that He's given us. Share the truth that He's given us. If we ever want to grow, if we ever want more, we better just do with what we've been given. And when we do with what we've been given, He'll give us more. Take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath to him shall be given. Have you ever noticed that? The people who are growing in the Word of God, people who have the Spirit of the Lord in their life, people who are witnesses for Christ, who are living for Christ, it just seems like they keep growing and keep growing and keep growing and keep growing. Why? Because they're doing something with God. God's given them, and they're being blessed by God spiritually. But then notice that he says, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And you say, well, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound fair. This guy's got this over superabundance, and this guy over here, he had a little bit, but now it's gone. Well, we understand we're talking about spiritual truth. And I believe there's a concept here. It's use it or lose it. I just wonder, how many of you have ever learned something in the past and then stopped dealing with that? Or being involved with that, and then you try to go back and you can't remember anything. I've told you before, I was blessed to get my pilot's license when I was 17 years old. I love airplanes. I love to fly. I think it's rapture practice. Some of you think flying's crazy, but it's an amazing thing. I love flying. But I had gone, I thought it had been about 7 years since I'd flown. Last year, I got renewed with my flying and stuff, and when I went back and looked, it had been 12 years since I'd flown an airplane. Now, I want to tell you something. I didn't forget how to fly an airplane, Brian, but I forgot all the regulations, all the rules about airspace, all the rules about radio work, all the rules, and all the, you know, for pilots, they got all these reports for the weather and stuff that are in code. I mean, they can't just give you a weather map. It's got to be stupid code. I'm going to tell you the truth. I couldn't remember any of that stuff. Airport markings and all those things. I was like, I don't remember any of this stuff. As a matter of fact, we went up to a class and had a refresher course, and I needed it because I was like, man, I don't remember any of this stuff. And that's the way it is for us sometimes. We if we are not in the Word and studying the Word and growing in the Word, we're going to lose it. How many of you have ever gone back and studied something and you go, you know, I used to know this. Amen. I used to know that. But you got to learn it again because you didn't use it and you forgot it. Amen. We remember things that we use. And so we need to use the Word of God so we don't lose it. Receive it. Take heed what you hear. So we have the revelation. It's the light of the gospel. It's like a candle that needs to be put on a candlestick. We have the reception of the Word of God. Be careful, because as God gives it to you, as you use it, that's how God will bless you. And the realization, Jesus gives this parable, and look at verse 26. He says, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and he should sleep and rise night and day. And the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And so we see the principle of sowing and reaping. Now the Lord has already, he just explained to the disciples the parable of the sower. The seed is the word of God. The soil is the man's heart. Now most of the time I would tell you, be careful taking explanations from one parable and applying them to another parable. But this is the same account. It all flows right here, and I believe it's the same thing. We see the seed is the word of God. It's found good ground, and the seed springs up. And he says, the man doesn't know how. He threw his seed out there in the field. He went to bed. He got up the next day. He went to bed. He got up the next day. And he just goes on with his life. And all of a sudden, while he's doing his daily routine, the seed sprouts up. First, there's the blade. The seed is turned into a sprout, is what we would call it. And by the way, I love it. Scientists still today don't know exactly why that happens. Now, they'll tell you what happens. The seed, it germinates. The soil temperature has to be just right. The light has to be there. The moisture content has to be there. And every seed has these certain parameters that have to be met. By the way, isn't that amazing? How does the seed know? How does the seed know when the moisture is the right amount? How does the seed know when the temperature is right? Does it have a thermometer? Do you know what it would take us, how much equipment we'd have to test all that? For the soil, temperature, and the moisture, and the light, and everything to be just right. But the seed knows. And when everything's just right, it springs up. Isn't that amazing? And those poor people back in Bible days, who I think were probably in many ways smarter than we are now, he didn't have any idea. He just put it out there and it grew. And you know what? Today, we don't really know either. We might be able to test all that stuff and have all types of technology to help us grow crops, but the reality is there's not a man on the planet who really understands how that works. But it does, because God designed it that way. And the blade comes up. And then it continues to grow. And it becomes a fully formed stalk. And then later the stalk brings forth fruit. The full corn, the full ear. And so the fruit is there, and then the reaping comes. Well, let me tell you, sowing and reaping is the work of the church. It is our job to sow the seed, and it is our job to seek to reap the harvest. Remember in John 4, verse 35, Jesus said to his disciples, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." And it is our job to sow the seed. It's our job to reap. And I've been amazed to see how God has worked in this church to see people come to Christ. Because one person shares the gospel, a Sunday school teacher teaches a lesson, somebody goes out and makes a visit, and all of those things work together. And one sows, and eventually somebody else reaps. But we're all working together, and we all rejoice in the harvest. We're talking about eternal life. We're talking about souls coming to Christ. And this is the way it's supposed to be. The seed of the Word of God has come into your heart. Life came from that. You were saved. You were born again. And God wants you to grow up. And if you'll keep hearing with ears to hear and applying what God has given and meet those things out in faithfulness and let your light shine, then you can bear fruit to the glory of God. You see it? See how it all goes together? Just taking what God's given you and living it out and sharing the gospel, we can see fruit unto life eternal. By the way, did you notice that the life is in the seed? He says he cast the seed, and the seed should spring and grow up. The sower didn't make the seed grow. The dirt didn't really make the seed grow. It was in the heart, but the seed, the life was in the seed itself. The seed contains the life. The seed is the Word of God, and the Word of God is what really brings life spiritually. And God is the one who causes the growth. He says he casts it out there, it springs and it grows up, and he doesn't know, he knoweth not how. And I'm here to tell you that God has given me the privilege of preaching the gospel for many years. I know I'm not that old, for many years. And I have tried to faithfully cast the seed of the Word of God. And I've failed so many times. But I don't know how. Sometimes it lands in good soil and people get saved. And I'm telling you, you look at it and you go, man, I had no idea they were even listening. I had no idea God was working. I have no idea that God, because at the end of the day, it's not me. And there's people that you've shared the gospel with and you think, man, nothing's ever going to come of that. And the next thing you know, they're saved and they're baptized and they're serving the Lord. And you go, man, I had no idea. But it's because it's not you. It's our job to sow. It's our job to water. But God's job to give the increase. Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So can I challenge you? Listen, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you can't, listen, I don't know how else to say it. Brother Rick always used to say, if you can't, can you put your hand on your heart and say, I know that I'm saved? Can you put your hand on your heart and say, I know when this life is over, I'll be in heaven with God. I know. Can you do that tonight? Do you know that you're saved? If you don't, you can repent. You can trust Christ. He is the only way of salvation. He died for you and rose again. You can be saved tonight. If you are saved, are you shining your light? Are you casting your seed? Are you doing what you can to help others to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? Listen, every day we have opportunities to share the gospel. And we're going to get ready for an invitation right now, but while they're coming, I want you to hear me still. Every day we have opportunities to share the gospel. Every day we go through our lives, we can see somebody at a gas station and we can give them a gospel tract. Every day you guys that are in school, you can give your friends tracts. You can talk to your friends about whether they're saved. Ask them if they know for sure they'll go to heaven when this life is over. There's so many opportunities around us to share the gospel. And we ought to be faithful to share the gospel in our personal lives every day. And I fail, and you fail, but don't quit. Get back to work. You put your light under a bushel yesterday, set it on the lamp step tomorrow. Set it on the candlestick tomorrow. Get busy for Jesus. And let me just say this. Tomorrow night, we're having our spring soul winning kickoff. And every spring we try, I plead with you to come and to be a part of it, that our whole church, you see, it's not just the pastor's job to share the gospel. It's not just the Sunday school teacher's job to share the gospel. It's not just the deacon's job to share the gospel. God has called this church, the body, to go and shine the light of the gospel. And I'm asking you to come tomorrow night at 6 o'clock and get together with other people in this church and get a bundle of tracts, and we'll go out into our community and start casting seed. And God will grow that seed, and we won't know how. We won't know how it happened, but someday down the line, God will have brought that up. God will have grown that word up in someone's heart, and we will see a harvest. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth with weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Let's stand together.